First of all, as he comes under fire again, a defense of Joe Biden, Philadelphia lawyer, op-ed columnist Christine Flowers, writing in the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com, who, is not exactly a registered Democrat anymore, but still would come to the defense of Joe Biden in this case. Explain your case, Christine.
Hey, Alan. Well, first of all, let me put it this way, and as I put this on my Facebook page, this is actually not so much a defense of Joe Biden as a criticism of the Democratic Party, to which I belonged for 36 years.
Yes.
And also on my Facebook page, I distance myself from your former great senator of the state of Delaware, because I was sympathetic toward him for many, many years. But the thing that basically, I abandoned him completely was the flip-flop on the Hyde Amendment.
Hyde Amendment.
I happen to be strongly pro-life. I was happy to hear him initially support the Hyde Amendment, and then when he was pressured by the radical members of the left wing of the Democratic Party, which is essentially the entire Democratic Party these days, and he backed down and he caved, I said, well, you know, the integrity is completely gone there, and so I can no longer support him. However, I have seen what has been happening in the Democratic Party, and to me, it now as an objective observer from the outside, it seems that they, the left wing, has taken over the party itself, like the invasion of the body snatchers, and it is grinding down anyone who seems to be somewhat right of center. Mark Deason wrote a great column as well talking about Joe Biden's problem, namely, it's that he doesn't hate Republicans enough for the Democrats. You know, you need to look at the right as the enemy, as Iran. In fact, I think the Democratic Party would embrace Iran and the Ayatollahs more than they would the average rank and file conservative. So the point of my column was that it's only been a month since Joe Biden announced his presidency, his campaign for the presidency, and he's had three major, which I think are minor, non-inconsequential controversies that have been made into huge controversies by the left and by the media that supports the left. First one being that whole touchgate, as I call it, where he was accused of kissing the nape of the neck of a candidate for lieutenant governor, I think, in the state of Texas.
It was Nevada, I believe, but go on.
Yeah, and I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous, where what I called it, you know, the Democrats said, oh, this is like hashtag Me Too moment. I said it was a hashtag Are You Kidding Me moment, because it was just so ridiculous to conflate or compare old-style, Joe-style social physicality and interaction with sexual harassment and sexual abuse. Then, as I said before, the Hyde Amendment, he came out, and I think he was sincere initially, and when he said, you know, I support the Hyde Amendment, because it's kind of like the low-hanging fruit on the tree for a pro-life Democrat, you know, to say, well, okay, maybe I can see abortion in certain circumstances, which I do not myself see abortion in any circumstance except to protect the life of the mother. But I would never, ever, you know, this being a Democrat, pro-life Democrat, so-called pro-life Democrat, saying I would never, ever want someone else to pay through tax dollars for a woman to essentially, you know, kill her unborn child. That's pretty low-hanging fruit. And Biden couldn't withstand the onslaught, the tidal wave of wokeness, particularly from liberal women, like, oh my God, you're not going to let poor women have access to killing their children. And so, yes, he caved on that. Then the most recent thing, as we've all seen in the past couple of days, is the fact that Joe Biden said that when he went to Congress long ago in 1972, when I was in the fifth grade, he worked across the aisle with certain unsavory characters, segregationists, people who, you know, today their names are mired in shame. Excuse me, or at least should be mired in shame. He said, I worked across the aisle. I didn't agree with them on anything, you know, Talmadge and Eastman, for example, and yet I was able to get things done. And the irony is that he's getting criticized by the left and by those some members of the African American community for working with these guys across the aisle and being successful in helping getting the passage of the Voting Rights Act, which helped the individuals who are criticizing him now. So it's
Although Voting Rights Act was in 64, 65, wasn't it? That's before Biden took over.
It was, but in all the iterations of it and in working with, I mean, because basically there was a lot of civil rights legislation that came after the
70s. Okay, yeah. Well, let me interrupt and make this point. That many strategists would say, okay, Joe, if you're going to talk about working across the aisle, it doesn't make sense strategically to bring up somebody like Senator James Eastland, well-known segregationist Mississippi. I mean, there's no way you're going to be able to win with that. And maybe liberals and progressives are going to attack you anyway for saying that you're willing to work across the aisle. But there was no point in bringing up that name and saying that he was called his son. That there would have been other persons who've not been necessarily cast as pejoratively today that he could have mentioned. And so that was Joe being Joe, forgetting about the political ramifications.
Right, Alan, you said it yourself. It's Joe being Joe. I mean, you guys in Delaware, and I love Delaware. I was just in Wilmington yesterday. You're used to Joe Biden. Joe Biden is kind of a sui generis type of politician. It's kind of difficult to package him. Now, his handlers are sort of trying to do that, and they're sort of trying to rein him in. But the guy has 50 years of either, you want to call it experience, you want to call it baggage.
Yeah.
It's going to be really difficult to reinvent Joe Biden. You get, what is it, you have to take what you get. He is Joe Biden.
Well, you get what you get. Let me try this on you. There was another columnist in the Washington Post, I believe, who made this point. It's one thing to talk about working across the aisle in recent history prior to Trump. It's another to invoke this nostalgic era when, in fact, women and people of color and all did not have the rights they have today, and certainly not LGBTQ. In other words, by invoking the 70s, that's mistaken, and almost seems as though he's trying to harken back to some of those whites who are unrepentant.
I just find that ridiculous. You know, I'm 57. I have lived through some major momentous changes in the last 50 years. And as I said in my piece, we all have histories. We didn't all bring pure and virtuous and renewed from the chasm that was created, political chasm that was created when Donald Trump was elected president 3 years ago. So to deny the past, to ignore the past, to pretend that the past didn't exist, to hate the past, which, in fact, the past made us what we are today, part of our DNA, is ridiculous. And it's self-defeating because, again, we're not an etch-a-sketch. You don't wipe the slate clean. And in order to understand where we are today, we have to look at where we were back then, 50-some years ago.
Yeah.
So I think it's ridiculous, and I'm really sorry. I have very little respect for that political type of that mentality that says, well, we have to march forward, and it's always revolution, not evolution.
In a way, isn't it perhaps the mirror opposite, the reaction to Trumpism, where if you're not avidly for Trump, you're virtually excommunicated from today's Republican Party?
Very true, and I've lived that myself. I wouldn't call myself a moderate by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a very strong social conservative. I oppose same-sex marriage from really a constitutional perspective. I have a huge problem with this whole idea of transgender and trans rights and gender fluidity. Again, I'm very, very pro-life. And yet, I happen to be an immigration attorney. And yet, I don't hate people like Joe Biden. I don't hate Barack Obama. I don't embrace many of the things that President Trump represents. Yeah. I do like President Trump a great deal on his judiciary picks, on some of his other initiatives.
Well, you know what? I got to say, you said you were in Wilmington yesterday. Sometime maybe we'll ought to have you in studio and have you in for an hour, and we can go over all the nuances, and I'll play devil's advocate with you and have a lot of fun because I'm all over the map politically anyway. But great talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alan. Take care.
Thank you. Christine Flowers, attorney at law, Philadelphia, op-ed columnist, live here on Delaware.